Genesis, the book of Genesis. We have been looking at the life of Joseph in our Sunday evening sermon series, looking at Old Testament personalities and learning life principles from them. And so we'll go to Genesis, and we have been looking at a number of individuals that God has placed before us as an example in Genesis. We've been looking at those, and tonight we're gonna probably pick up at about Genesis 45. Genesis 45 is probably where we're going to begin. We'll get there in a moment. And then because this is the genre of scripture that we find here in the book of Genesis is Old Testament narrative, we've got some chunks of scripture that we're going to look at and read together as time allows this evening. But we're going to continue. This is the third part of looking at Joseph's life. Okay? The third time now. It's been elongated over several months. So we're kind of looking at the latter years of Joseph's life, and we're looking at his summary, his evaluations, and of course, as the scriptures have laid out for us, plenty of lessons and principles for us to learn. Let's ask for the Lord's guidance and blessings as we study his scripture this evening. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its perfection and inerrancy. Lord, thank you for the preservation of your word and that we can hold copies of it that are accurate in front of us. Thank you, Lord, for how it changes and works in our lives as we allow it to. Lord, I pray that we'd be looking for application and principles that we would put into practice, ways in which we would grow, areas where we need to repent and change. Lord, humble our hearts before your word this evening, and may your word be heard. In Jesus' name, amen. I've titled our study of Joseph, as I've adapted from many, many sources to put this material together in a series format. It's been helpful to do that. I've entitled this The Blessings of Fearing God. The Blessings of Fearing God. There is blessing in healthy biblical fear of Almighty God. And so as we look at the life of Joseph in Genesis, we can see how he faced a whole host of pressures in life. Similar, not always exactly the same, but similar to pressures we experience in life and day to day. We experience pressure. I mean, do you not? I'd like to hear how you do not. We face pressure in a fallen and sinful world and as sinners as ourselves. And we look at Joseph's life, and it's a ministry to our hearts to see other individuals that lived factually in history, recorded in the Bible, and see that they struggled, but God was there. They struggled, and they were squeezed and squished and constrained with pressures in life like we are, but they knew some things about God. They trusted God, and God is seen as sustaining, providing, and blessing them as they respond to pressures in life. As God provides, God sustains, God has purpose. So we look at his life and we see this, and Joseph very easily, like any one of us, could have chosen to respond to the pressures in his life in a sinful way. Couldn't he have? He could have chosen to respond like, well, God's forgotten about me, God does not have a plan anymore, God hates me, there is no God, there's no reason to follow him anymore because I go from pit to pit to pit in my life. Literally and figuratively in the life of Joseph. But instead we see something different as God's word is revealed to us. Instead, as we look at Joseph's life as a whole, an imperfect man, but one has an example of obedience to the Lord, instead of rejecting the Lord and choosing to respond to circumstances sinfully, we see that he knew some things about God. We're going to unpack what that statement means in a moment. He knew some things about his God. He trusted God and what he had been told and taught about God from his parents and others in his life. We have much to learn from the life of Joseph because he discovered the rich blessings of fearing God and following him no matter the pressures in life. The big idea has remained the same up and through part 1, part 2, part 3 of our look at Joseph's life. Here's the big idea tonight. You might write it down. There is blessing in fearing God when the pressure is on. Folks, I'm not suggesting to you by any means some sort of prosperity teaching or gospel that as long as we obey, it means I got a paycheck. You know, as long as I follow the Lord, I get the things I want. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what God's word teaches. But God's word does teach that we are in the position of blessing as we obey God, and obey God not at selective times, but even when the pressure is on. We see this in Joseph's life, and it can be related to our life. The biblical truth and principles remain the same for New Testament believers. That's what our look at Joseph's life will help us discover. So thinking back on the times together when we were studying Joseph's life, and in your own personal study of Joseph in the Old Testament from Genesis, you'll remember many of the pressures we looked at, the different kinds of pressures that he experienced. He experienced family pressure from an early age. He was born into a family that was naturally dysfunctional. He was born into a family where there were multiple sets of stepbrothers. He had blended families, a term we use in today's vernacular. He had brothers who despised him and were jealous of him. He had a father that showed him exceptional interest and preference in life. And then the negative results of his family observing that, we see that in the scripture, we looked at it. He experienced in his life the process that you know, going from pressure to pressure, from pit to pit. It's like, Lord, can you cut me some slack for once? You know, that's the kind of response we tend to have. Joseph went through those things. We looked at those things in months past. You remember the different kinds of pressures. Pressures also that Joseph comes to understand, and we'll look at again a little bit tonight. Pressures that Joseph came to understand were not solely intended just for him. Pressures that God allowed in his sovereign plan for Joseph to experience so that he might be able to be an instrument, an edifying, an example, a witness, a testimony to others. Pressures that were meant for others, but God walked him through too. And many times, or oftentimes, pressures in our life are not always intended only for us. In fact, remember this, you know this, not all of God's purposes for the pressures in our lives will be revealed to us in this life. It may be years, it may be decades, and it might not be until heaven before we realize, that's why you were doing that in my life, Lord. We need to understand that, and I think we can see that in the life of Joseph. In all of these pressures, we can see that Joseph remained God-centered. That was the general example of his life. He remained God-centered in the face of pressures that God allowed in his life or meant for his life. Firstly, tonight, we'll look at two. If you're taking notes and you need to know the numbers and all that stuff, we'll look at 2 points tonight. Here's the first. Here's the first that we'll see in Joseph's life as we look at the scriptures. We see, and I want us to look a little bit at the purposes of pressure. Like we talk about pressure, we talk about circumstances, we talk about difficulty and trials in life. But oftentimes the question that begs to be answered is why? What's the purpose of trials? So we go to James, we go to New Testament, we go to chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4, and we see that trials and tribulations in this life for the life of a believer have a purpose. They grow patience within us. They strengthen us. Other passages, Peter, and throughout the New Testament, we see that trials grow us. They strengthen us as we respond to them biblically. We want to know the purpose. What is the purpose of my suffering? I don't know how many times in the ministry the Lord's allowed. Why am I suffering? Pastor, what might be the purposes of this difficulty? Why do I have to experience this and they don't? We want to know why. And so it's helpful to see in Joseph's life, and the scriptures teach us a little bit about the purposes of pressure in life. considering Joseph's dysfunctional family, considering his slavery in Egypt, he could have chosen to be miserable. He could have chosen to remain bitter. He could have chosen to do a myriad of different things in response to these pressures in his life. Extreme pressures in his life. But instead, we've seen time and time again, he chose to be willing to be used by God and therefore saw God's gracious provision in his life, in his family's life, in the eventual nation of Israel and their experience. He had the opportunity to see the blessing in his life as he feared and trusted God in that. I want you to notice two ways of God's provision in our lives. So we look at the purposes of pressure. I want you to notice, first of all, as we see an example of Joseph, we'll be in Joseph in Genesis 45. I want you to notice, I'm going to read some scripture, and I want you to look for the tangible provision that God prepared for Jacob and his family through the pressures in life of Joseph. I want you to see this. Let's not miss this. Genesis 45. Let me just, I need to be there too. I'm in chapter 40. There we go. Chapter 45. Let's begin in verse 10. And just notice here in three verses. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all thy that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that you have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. Notice again, let's continue on in verses 16 and following. Just follow along and notice this here. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it is pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lay your breast and go and get ye unto the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also, regard not your stuff. I like that statement. Stuff. We have stuff in life. Stuff is so unnecessarily important to us in life. I'm going to have stuff in my garage, I have stuff in the closet, I have stuff in the house. We like stuff, and stuff becomes important to us. Verse 20 says, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Tangible provision that God provided. Verse 21, continue. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Verse 23. And to his father he sent after the manner 10 asses laden with gold things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. God's perfect, tangible provision. And where did that come from, and how did it come to that point? There were pressures along the way that took place. Joseph responded obediently and in a trustworthy way throughout these pressures that, yes, you could say were unfair. Yes, you could say were illegal. Yes, you could say were undeserved, right, from our human perspective. But through these pressures in one man's life, God had a plan from eternity past to provide for others, including Joseph, his immediate family. And there's yet a bigger picture. We'll draw that out in a moment. God perfectly supplies for our needs. Paul reminded the Philippians this, right? Chapter 4, verse 19. Everything we need for life and godliness, God promises to provide for his children. Amen? Don't miss that. Don't forget that. Don't let the squeeze of the pressure of life to choke out that reality. God promises to provide. He provides tangibly. See what Joseph says to his brothers about God's purposes and in all that has occurred in Genesis 45. Let's back up to verses 7, 8, and 9. Notice what Joseph said. This is a key. These are key verses in the life of Joseph. 45, verse 7 says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by your great deliverance." God sent me, he says. This is what he's recounting to his brothers. Verse 8, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." I mean, put yourself in the shoes of Joseph's brothers who exacted so much evil and hatred to him. And Joseph, so many years later, says, "You didn't sell me into Egypt. It wasn't your wrong that placed these pressures in my life. It was God's plan. It was God's purpose. And he used you even though you meant evil to me." Continue on. Verse 8. "And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste you and go up to thy father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not." Joseph is recognizing before brothers in a compassionate way and in a forgiving way. He is recognizing, recounting to his brothers, "I'm here, you're here, God's providing through his plan, not your evil." I don't think you see in the text any way that this is a spiteful type comment from Joseph to his brothers. This is him understanding that God provides tangibly in ways that we do not always see and may not fully always understand. Joseph recognized how God had worked. He made sure that his brothers understood it was God's purpose of caring for them that brought all these circumstances together. God provides tangibly, but God also provides intangible provision for us, doesn't he? We see this in Joseph's life. Notice this, how God uses, listen, God uses pressure to provide for our intangible needs as well. Our spiritual needs, growth needs before him. God knows, it's his plan, his purpose, right? We should never like, oh wow, God knew that, right? He knows all things. We say he's omniscient. That's what the scriptures teach us. God, in his infinite knowledge, knows that we need strong relationships with other people. That's how he's created us to relate. And he knows we need a strong and healthy relationship with him, firstly. God knows this, and he provides for that relationship to grow and to be built. Look at what Jacob recognizes as God's intangible provisions. Let's notice several of them. Chapter 45, Genesis. Look at verses 25 and following. Notice how Jacob recognizes the hand of God, how he had preserved Joseph. It's forever recorded in Scripture. Verse 25, "And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not." Verse 27, "And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel," the name God gave to him, "and Israel said, It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Jacob recognized the hand of God. It was God in his hand that had preserved his son Joseph from harm. Go over to chapter 46, just the next chapter there. You might need to turn a page. Look at the first four verses. "And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. Here's the key. Notice this. For I will there make of thee a great nation. Time and time and time again in life, we must be reminded where God calls, he supplies. Where God leads, he sustains. God never asks us to move beyond the reach of his grace and his mercy and his sustaining love. Here we see Jacob recognizing this. We can go on for sake of time. Verses 15, the first part of 16, you can see there of Genesis 48. Chapter 48, verses 15 and 16. Jacob recognized at the point of his death that God had been his, this is beautiful. He verbalizes, he recognizes that God had been his shepherd all his life, and that God had redeemed him from evil. That's the Old Testament understanding of salvation, preserving, saving him from evil. If you went to chapter 49 and verse 26, we're skipping through large portions of Genesis here. Genesis 49, 26. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. This is this idea of, however you want to pronounce that, that's the idea of his ancestors, those he's come from, those before him. He recognized that above even them he'd been blessed. His forefathers, Abraham and Isaac. Under the uttermost bound, the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Jacob is recognizing and giving testimony of praise for God's intangible provision as well as God's tangible provision, not only in his life, but his son's life. What a beautiful testimony. Jacob recognized God had blessed him greater than even his forefathers. So we look at the purpose of pressures and we see God's tangible provision throughout those pressures in life. We see God's intangible provision in our lives. As we've seen in Joseph and Jacob's life, God provides in all these areas. But God also used all the pressures Joseph faced to bless him greatly. Notice how Jacob describes the pressures Joseph faced. He's thinking of his son here in chapter 49 and verse 23. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. You know the hurt of being hated. You've experienced that in life, I'm certain. You know what it's like to have the enemy, the one that opposes you, be against you. It hurts. It's hard. It's a pressure. And in many cases, it's not able to be changed by us. And notice how Jacob describes that. He recognized Joseph faced enormous pressure in his life. But then notice the description of Joseph's response to all that pressure in his life because of the things he knew about God. Verse 24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Look at how the names of God express his attributes. I don't want you to miss this. Notice the text there. We've just been reading verse 24, chapter 49. The Lord is revealed as the mighty God of Jacob. Can you say that tonight? My mighty God. The mighty God of David Swope will provide for intangible, for tangible needs. He is my shepherd. He is my redeemer, even in the midst of pressures that he allows. We see the shepherd, that's the word they're used in the text, the shepherd guiding Joseph and the stone of Israel. I love the description there, providing stability. He goes on, he is the God in the Hebrew, El, God, the God of Jacob, who helps by his might, the Almighty. That's Shaddai, El Shaddai,
the Almighty, God Almighty, who blesses his blesses in his infinite abundance. Jacob had seen those blessings in his life and in the account of Joseph's life as well. And he wanted them to continue for Joseph. He wanted them to continue. And so he blessed him before he died. After Jacob's death, the brothers were again concerned about their welfare, weren't they? They immediately started being concerned. I mean, they had a lot of reason to be doubtful, didn't they? You know, all of that that they did to their younger brother. And immediately they began fearful. I don't know. Are we going to be safe under Joseph now that dad's gone? Or is he going to finally exact his vengeance on us? When is the other shoe going to drop? They're fearful. They were concerned. They were concerned about their welfare, their protection. But they were only just about to see how real Joseph's faith in God was. Turn to Genesis chapter 50. Look at how much scripture we've covered. Wow. Maybe a lot of page turning, not a lot of verses read. Genesis chapter 50. Notice beginning in verse 15. Just follow along. I'll read through 21. Set yourself in this position. Consider this. Like a fly on the wall, Joseph addressing his brothers who were fearful yet again. What does Joseph say? Let's look at the Word of God says. Genesis chapter 15, chapter 50, verse 15. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph, will peradventure hate us? Will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of the brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee forgive the trespass of the servants of God, of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants, a.k.a. don't kill us. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God. I love it when the Bible says, but God. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You know what my gut response is to that response that Joseph gives his brothers? Wow. Wow. Because that, friends, is not the natural response of someone who has been hurt. Someone who has been abused. Someone who has been mistreated. Someone who has been treated unfairly. Joseph knew things about God. He knew enough about God Almighty, his creator, that he knew that God's purposes and plans were far greater reaching, and no evil would thwart what God had best for Joseph in his life, which included horrific pressure. Joseph spoke to his brothers and encouraged them this way. Joseph knew he was in the place that God provided so that he could provide for, that he could protect his family and others and do good for God's people. Joseph had learned. He had a life of learning. We have a life of learning. Joseph learned that though they may meant evil against him, God meant it all for good. Boy, we got to wrestle with that thought, don't we? Like, God, could we just make this a little easier? How about just chop out the bad and do the good? Done, right? It's not God's plan. It's not his purpose for our life. Specific good was certainly Specifically in the context, it was the preservation of Jacob's entire family, God keeping his promise in that, and beyond that, and far reaching beyond that, the growth of a nation. And of course, we know that from the rest of Scripture that this nation would one day give birth to the Messiah, the God-man, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. God's plans so far reaching beyond our pressures. I think sometimes God's purposes and our pressures may be far beyond anything we will ever see in this life. I noted that earlier. I want you to think about that and remember that. It's a healthy thought to realize what is so hard now that I want the answer for. Give me the reason, God. Plenty of times, God says, no, the reason, the purpose is not for you to know right now. But I will never leave. I will never forsake you. I am a perfect sustainer and supplier of your need. Trust me. I mean, this is what we do as believers. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? We see this in Joseph's life. Sometimes God shows us the tangible results of his work in our lives, but whether we can see it clearly or not, know this, God always has a purpose for each and every one of us. God's purposes, by the way, the scripture promises, every one of God's purposes are always good because he is good, he is excellent, he is perfect. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 reminds us of his good and perfect will. So we see we need to understand and look at the purposes of pressure in life. But lastly, we also, just very quickly, we need to work on and be humbly submissive to the Lord in learning to fear God. Oh, don't be the one. Repent if this is you. Oh, I got it all figured out. I fear God perfectly. No, you don't. I know you don't. Because God's word says we need to continually work on this. And he allows precious to teach us this in life. Joseph needed to learn. Joseph was learning. We need to learn. Hopefully we are learning to fear God. Joseph had more pressures in his life than most of us in this room could probably ever imagine that we will experience. And the pressure came from about every angle in his life. Yet we consistently see the example of Joseph's responses to these pressures as not complaining, remaining selfless, demonstrating compassion, acting in a way that was eager to serve whatever the circumstances, and a life that was marked by peace and trust in God. What's interesting is that we not only have everything that Joseph had to allow him to respond to these pressures, we not only have everything that Joseph had in his life and knowledge of God to respond to pressures in a similar way, in a biblical way, but we also have the permanent indwelling Holy Spirit in our lives, working in and through our lives, empowering, enabling, and comforting, and a whole myriad of other ministries in our life. If you're a born-again believer, you possess that. I think if we look a little closer, we can see what made up Joseph's responses. And we can see how God wants to change us. He wants to change you. He wants to mold and shape. For what? For his glory, by conforming us to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. God wants to teach us faithfulness, even in the small things, so that when the bigger things come around, we remain faithful in those too. Don't get to that stale kind of, I've been a believer long enough position in your life, you're like, no, Lord, you know, these are little pesky things in life. I'll be faithful in the big things, the really tough things, the chronic diagnosis, the lifelong medical treatments, the broken relationships, the big stuff, the long stuff, the hard stuff. Lord, I'll be faithful in those when they come around. And we overlook all of these little, what we say, little, tiny, simple areas in life where God also calls us to remain faithful. Although different in a way, in many ways, the lessons we can observe and learn from Joseph's life can be applied to our own lives. Perhaps, let me suggest to you, perhaps the most basic principle in Joseph's life that I think enabled him to deal with the pressures was knowing God. Does that sound too simple to you? Joseph knew his God. How was he able to trust him as he did? Because he knew God was trustworthy. By experience, by teaching, by the relating of God's goodness and trustworthiness through his imperfect father, Jacob, as he relayed this to his family, Joseph knew God. Do you know God? Do you know the things about God? Consider what it means to know someone. You know, we know each other. We have different levels of knowing each other. My parents are visiting. I know them a whole lot more than you do. That sounds kind of braggadocious, doesn't it? They're my parents. I can say that. I know them pretty well. Why? Because I've spent time with them. I've spoken with them. I've interacted with them. I've listened to them. I've asked them questions. They've invested in my life. What characterizes the person you know? What are the likes and dislikes in a person that you know? What level and reach of authority might someone else have in your life? These are things we seek and look to figure out and understand about the people we know. What are their attitudes toward me? What are my attitudes toward them? Can I just tell you this? It's no different in coming to know God. I say it all the time. You want to know God, you want to hear from God, then you read what God has given to reveal about himself to us. If you want to hear it out loud, read out loud. This is how God speaks to us. This is how God reveals himself to us. And our trust, our faith, our responses to God, our obedience to God only increases as we are informed in the things about God. God is not an obscure force, folks. I'm trying to say two words at once. He's not an obscure, cosmic, Gnostic, weird cloud in the sky. God is a real person in the sense that he has created us in his image. We are bearers of his image. God is real. God can be known. He wants us to know him. He wants us to fear him. Joseph knew who was in control of his life, and he knew who was in control of all the pressures of his life. Chapter 45, verses 7 and 8. We read those verses. If we go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we see what characterizes God's desire for his children. That we become and that we live what is good, what is right, what is his purpose for our life. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we read it. Joseph understood what was meant for evil was used for God's good. He knew these things about God. We as New Testament believers, we go to a wonderful passage, John chapter 3 and verse 16. We know it so well. God reveals there his motivation for his activity in our lives. It's through his love for those he created. Scriptures teach us that God's purposes in our lives include, listen, knowing and then trusting him. Knowing and trusting him. Christian, we can know God. We can know our God because he has revealed himself to us in his word. By his word, we can recognize his character. We can recognize and come to know his plans. We can come to know his revealed purposes for our life as individuals, corporately as a church in this age. May I challenge you in the way that your life as a believer, biblically, should be ever increasing in knowledge of God. Your life should be ever increasing in coming to know more and more and better your God. Joseph believed and trusted God. There's a myriad of passages throughout Genesis that show us this. He knew what God expected of him, so he was faithful to obey in what God expected of him. And he knew that whatever the immediate consequences, God was faithful to honor that obedience in the fullness of time. Eventually, God would honor that obedience. I believe Joseph knew that and he understood that. Joseph, we could say it this way also, Joseph died to his own agenda and comfort in his trust in God's purposes when the pressures squeezed in. Why? Because he knew some things about God. He lived a life marked by denying himself, denying his own desires for the sake of God and for the sake of others. And in our Lord's instruction concerning anxiety, we were there on Wednesday night. If you don't come to prayer meeting, you miss out a lot. We were there on Wednesday night. It's a familiar passage. Let me go there very quickly, and then we'll wrap up. Matthew chapter 6. This is our Lord's discussion and teaching on responding to anxiety. We'll call them pressures. Very similar things. In Matthew chapter 6, let me just summarize this whole portion here. Look at verse 26. He says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Look, skip down to verse 30. "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith?" This is Jesus speaking to his followers. Verse 32 says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." It's implied there. What are you? Acting like the Gentiles here? "For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things." Did you know that? Do you remember that? Are you living in light of that? Our heavenly Father knows your needs. What should our response be to this? Jesus makes it easy for us, and he shows us in verse 33, 34. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." If God is trustworthy, then we must trust him. Amen? Let me say it another way. God is trustworthy. People, trust him. Trust him. Trust him completely. Resist the temptation to allow fear, to allow pain, to allow suffering, to allow disappointment, to limit what God wants to do in your life. In the midst of pressure, not after, not before, but in the midst of the pressures you're experiencing now, God wants to work in your life. God will work in your life. And as you yield to him, God is working in your life. Joseph had heard the words of God from his father. He had watched God work in his father's life, his family's life, his own life. And as he watched these things, he knew God. Because God is who he is, Joseph trusted him. He trusted him with his life. He accepted everything in his life as from God's hand and did whatever work that God placed in front of him. Listen, Joseph was not a perfect, sinless person. But God has given us a great deal of scripture in Joseph's life with so many principles that are exactly appropriate to apply to our lives. No matter what the circumstances, Joseph serves as an example of not being controlled by the circumstances. Joseph went through the worst in his life, but he, you could say, experienced the best because he consistently relied on the faithfulness of God. Isn't this the continual call in our lives? That, friends, that, Christian, is the essence of the blessings of God in the midst of pressures. Let's pray. Father, we've seen that Joseph's life, among many other things, teaches us that there is blessing and there is provision in fearing you, even when the pressure is on. So, Father, this evening as we close this Lord's Day, our evening study together, Lord, please help each one to surrender to and live in the reality that you control every circumstance of our life. Lord, I pray that you would cause the attitude of our hearts to accept that you use every circumstance for your purpose. Oh, that should change how we live, Lord. I pray that you'd strengthen us to fear you, even when the pressure's on. For in fearing and obeying you, there is blessing. Thank you for revealing your character and your purposes through your holy word. Lord, help us to recognize your blessings in all things. Not just in the pleasant conditions. Help each one here to follow faithfully in the times of discomfort and trial that they may be in the midst of even tonight. Every day trusting you and doing what you have placed before us. Father in heaven, thank you. I know it sounds strange to say, Lord, for us as human beings, but thank you for the pressures that are meant to conform us to your image. In Jesus' name, amen.